You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Now, because it is Thursday, that means it's the mailbag. Got more questions, I think, than ever. And since I promised that I would try to do two shows, we are doubling it up. So if you are, if this is part one, this is the first one, this is the one with our regular question askers for the most part. And then the second one's got a couple of our regulars because I wanted to just wanted to get some of the foundation into the second episode. So it wasn't just all completely new people, but they're more of our newer regulars. But if you had a question and it's not answered here, look for part two, because they're both being released concurrently, two different episodes, one mailbag. So that's how we're doing it, because it was a lot. I do want to address before we start that a lot of people have made comments on YouTube in particular. You don't have comments on like iTunes. I guess there is, but I don't look at them. That does not do well for my psyche, for better or worse. But the reasons why the sound is not great is because as much as this looks like a studio and is built like a studio right here, all the house mechanical, what have you, is all right on the other side of the camera. So I do my best to try to eliminate the noise, but I'm going to try something different today. Hopefully that works. The noise gate, all that stuff, as much as we can to eliminate. Otherwise, it would just be like without me talking, I'm looking at my sound meter. It's like halfway full. So it takes a lot to get this to sound okay. Only place in the house that I can have like where I can film stuff, you know? Because this isn't a real studio, believe it or not. Not every sports writer can afford to have their own studio with like acoustic treatment and stuff like that. So could have did all this behind us, but in front of us, not so much. So we'll do our best to try to remedy, but it is what it is to some degree. Let's go ahead and get to show number one, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. How many incompletions from JJ before we say he's not ready and call for Davis? 3 or 4? In all seriousness, I'm sure the receivers genuinely love both quarterbacks, but is it fair to say this move will give that room a little more mental boost knowing that they'll have more opportunities? I'd imagine it does, and this was something that I was talking to. I don't remember if it was when I was talking to my best friend or if when I was on the M Zone earlier today, but one of the things about, like, I thought about it during the last game when Cornelius Johnson got his first big catch downfield, that big long one. He had to be sitting there thinking like, all right, now finally, now I can really showcase. I don't think that there's anything wrong with Cade at all. I think Cade has been great, but he is more of a typical West Coast offense style quarterback. He's not, you know, he'll have a couple downfield throws and, you know, but for the most part, he's mostly taking those things that are kind of in the intermediate range. And that's fine, but when you're a wide receiver like Cornelius Johnson, you have to be feeling like, man, I can do so much more. I can be that deep threat. I can be, you know, just as electric as anyone out there. And I feel like with the plays that he had, the plays that Roman Wilson has had, I know one of his touchdowns was from Cade, but they've got to have this feeling of like, okay, now we can look like Alabama potentially. You know what I mean? So I think you're completely onto something. I said that to Sarah, who had no idea what I was talking about against Hawaii. But because, you know, I'm just sitting there, you know, digesting the game kind of aloud on the sidelines because it's kind of the best way for me to be able to figure out what is happening. Because I don't have the overhead view. I don't necessarily get to see everything that's happening, but I still feel like I get a pretty good idea of what's going on. You know, like I can, you know, you look at the replay up on the screen. It's always fun because after the game, reconvene with a couple media colleagues and I say this, and they're like, yeah, totally. That's exactly what we were seeing. So it's always, okay, cool. Yeah, I think the receivers have to certainly feel like, okay, maybe now we can really be that group. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Are you surprised we haven't seen a special teams touchdown considering the level of competition the first few weeks? Is it a product of the staff keeping things very vanilla at the moment? I think it's two things. Number one, I don't think that their teams aren't exactly eager to kick to Michigan. AJ Henning had a couple opportunities in this last game, but I mean, they're still always trying to score. I think, but in general, as far as what you're seeing, it is all going to be very vanilla. There's no reason to go out there, and that's beyond special teams, but there's no reason to go out there and just be crazy, put everything on film now. I mean, the meat of your schedule is in the middle and at the end, so especially against these teams, they don't have to do a lot. As far as not seeing a special teams touchdown, I mean, I think one of the things that has precluded them from getting that as well, and it's not exclusive to these teams that they've seen, you're going to see it often, but the rollout, right? Because they're trying to mitigate the fact that their punter might not be able to have quite as much hang time. You know, that they're trying to allow their gunners to get downfield, the other team, a bit. So there really hasn't been the same kind of opportunities. They kick away from Henning and Roman Wilson, I don't believe, has had a return yet. So I think that's somewhat to be expected. I mean, it's somewhat unusual to necessarily constantly get like have your returns, you know, get touchdowns on returns. I'm sure that I'd say 90% of college football teams probably don't get that. So Michigan was kind of spoiled. But yeah, I think there's a little bit of the fear of God struck into the hearts of Michigan's opponents on special teams, given what they saw last year. You know what I mean? My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Do you think the starters stay in longer this week to fine-tune for the start of Big Ten play? I do, but I don't think it necessarily means the whole game. I would imagine it will be kind of like it used to be, and it isn't like this anymore, of course, but when the NFL had four preseason games, you know, week three of the preseason, the starters would usually play, what, three quarters? Something like that. I would expect that to be pretty much the same here. But at the same time, if Michigan's up 42-0 like they were this last week, chances are all bets are off, right? Because you don't want to risk the injury to a important position. You want to get guys kind of ready, but you also don't want to lose somebody. So I think that's you're trying. I probably had imagined they're gonna play that by ear. I'm sure that they are going into this game with that intention, but I don't necessarily know that that's gonna be what ends up happening. You know what I mean? Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. How do you see the offense changing with JJ now the starter? I think it has the ability to be just way more. It was already explosive last year with Kate as the starter. I think it will be even more explosive now because what you saw the product of, and Jake Buck's breakdown of this was great. You saw the product of this on the first touchdown, right? JJ as a runner sucked up the safeties. And that allowed a wide open Roman Wilson to get past the secondary. It opens up so many different opportunities just in general, because number one, Michigan's got so much talent, and not one of them is necessarily that like, okay, you've got to double this guy type talent. Any one of them can hurt you. It reminds me of Michigan basketball a couple years ago where it's like any one of them can hurt you. So who are you going to double? You can't double. You really don't want to double anybody, because if you double anybody, you're just kind of screwed. Then you've got to worry about the running backs, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, and even now CJ Stokes. You got to worry about the tight ends. You got to worry about any of them, you know, on play action, just leaking out and being an underneath situation. And then you also have to worry about JJ McCarthy on the RPO or just the designed run or any of that stuff. I think that the offense just becomes, it was already dynamic. It becomes even more so now because it's just everything is on the table. I'm curious to see what that looks like against a team like Iowa. I think that's when you're going to start to see some tricks come out, you know, but I think it's going to move a lot faster as a result. Again, no offense to Cade. I just think that the danger that J.J. McCarthy presents allows you to do things. I mean, J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback also allows you to do things like what you saw in the Big Ten championship game. Everyone's so worried about J.J. get the ball to Donovan Edwards. They're worried about Donovan Edwards in the past game. And then he throws a touchdown to Roman Wilson. So it's that goes to show, like, you have no idea what you're going to get. This is, like, my dream offense, personnel-wise and all of that, from when I was in college, when I was, like, I loved the A11. I know that's not a thing that really you can do, but I remember sitting there trying to draw up an offense of, like, anyone can be a receiver, and here's how. Number two through two games, who is your biggest surprise player? Mine is CJ Stokes. I'm assuming Stokes. You said CJ. I'm assuming it's not, you don't mean Cornelius Johnson. I think mine is probably Mike Singer still, actually, because he's just been a beast defensively, man. He has been sure tackling. He's been a hard hitter. It's been so impressive to watch him. But I could pick any number of players. Mike Morris, I think, as much as they've been raving about him, if you've watched our PFF breakdowns with Anthony Treach, he's not been as high on him, and I think he's been really, really good so far. I mean, Stokes is certainly one of them. Roman Wilson suddenly having, like, four touches and three touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot of great. Number three, what game do you think we'll see alternate jerseys, if any? At Iowa, for sure. So at Iowa, I would imagine Penn State, Michigan State, and Ohio State. That would be my guess. Those would be the only ones. KRT at Farmer 84. Now that we've gotten to see a lot of the freshman play, who's your pick for most impactful freshman on offense and defense? Obviously, offense at this moment would be CJ Stokes. He's been incredible thus far. In limited action still. On defense, it's I'd imagine it's got to be either Mason Graham or Derek Moore. Both of them have been very good. Will Johnson's graded out really well, actually, according to Pro Football Focus. So one of those three. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156, which coaches are on the field and who is in the box? I'm not 100% sure because, weirdly, I have not really dawdled by the Michigan sideline yet in the first two games. As far as in the box, Grant Newsom is in the box. And I think Ron Bellamy is in the box. Other than them, I think every other major coach is on the field, because maybe Jay Harbaugh might be in the box as well, because I don't recall seeing him down there, but he's been on the field this entire time, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I'll try to keep a lookout this week. Everyone else that I've seen, Minter, I've seen Sharon, I've seen Weiss, I think that's, I've seen everybody else as far as I know. All right, we're going to move on and continue on here momentarily. But as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to and faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdowncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockdowncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Here's the crazy thing. We're doing two episodes. I cut literally, I think it's like 20 and 20. We're going to go the full 30, I think, on both. Maybe not the second one. We're going to get close to it here. All right. Jim at Jim in the North, starting us out for the Victor's Valiant. Starting to get really worried about the O-line. The sacks on Cade were unfortunate for him, but really worrisome given upcoming competition. I asked Sharon Moore about that, actually, yesterday, and he had said, it's par for the course early season. These guys haven't gone up against anyone other than their own defense. They're still trying to gel, figure things out. It happens every year. And it does. I don't really remember it per se last year, but it's, I'm not worried yet, right? Like if Maryland, that would be the point where I'd start. Usually week four is usually when I start to think about it, because think about when 2018, things didn't really look great on the line the first couple weeks. Week four against Nebraska, suddenly, wow, line looks great. Absolutely phenomenal. And then it just continued. That's kind of what I would expect this same year, essentially. Like once they get into Big Ten play, hopefully things are shored up. Yeah, it hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been stellar either. So I'd say just be patient. It's not a, they aren't concerned. I'm not concerned yet. I'm excited about JJ. Do you think his decision-making will stand up going forward? Well, I think defenses, they're going to get more and more of a read on what he is doing the more tape is out there, and they'll figure out some things to kind of stall him. It's going to be, how does he fare once defenses are game planning for him? And so I would imagine by Penn State week, there will be some, you know, maybe Iowa week, but that still might not be enough of a sample size for teams to really kind of figure out his tendencies per se. Obviously he's probably got some tendencies that they know. So I would say though, by Penn State week, if he's still just dealing, then that's just what you've got. At some points there's going to be something that's going to be troublesome for him, and it's going to be, how does he battle through it? I think his decision-making thus far has been great. Let's see what it's like against upper tier competition before we start to really, you know, hand out some trophies and such like that. Cade seems to have taken a step back. Any of your thoughts as to why? Also, the people who booed him are ungrateful jerks. I agree certainly with the latter part. I understand the excitement for JJ, but, you know, it's, and the wanting more and more and more, but like that, think about how that feels for Cade, you know? There's a lot of people out there with a misconception that Michigan won despite Cade. If that's the case, Michigan's had great defenses and run games before last year. You know, all in 1 year. Why has no other quarterback been able to do it? He's the first quarterback, really, Jim Harbaugh's had that's been like a bona fide leader that galvanizes the team. You know, on defense, they rallied around Aiden. On offense, they didn't rally around Hassan. They rallied around Cade. Hassan really stepped things up midway through the season. Blake Corum was the star for half the season before he got injured. Remember that. It's revisionist history that Hassan Haskins was like that dude. And if you've watched or listened to the show for any period of time, this show has been more on the side of Hassan Haskins before most people even knew who he was. So the longtime listeners and watchers know that. I was talking about Hassan Haskins all the way back in 2018. And when he was still, like, he had just switched back over from linebacker, and I'm like, watch out for him at running back. So, Cade deserves a lot more credit than he gets. As far as why he's taking a step back, I think he's just pressing, right? Like, he knows he has to try to match what JJ is capable of, and I think that just, he's got the yips, essentially. We'll see what he does this game, because I'm sure he'll play at some point in this game. At some point, he's going to settle back in and look a lot better, because he looked a lot better in fall camp. There's a lot of people that want to yell at me because I said he looked really good in fall camp. Listen, for everyone that I've talked to that watched him, he did. Just because it hasn't looked good in games doesn't negate that. So, finally from Jim, did you see that Davis Warren pass? Maybe Michigan should give him a shot under center. Those skills could beat OSU. He's got a little winky face there. Yeah, that's certainly, if JJ has a bad game and Davis Warren comes in at any point in time and continues to look good, trust me, that will become a narrative. That's how it works. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. I'm sure you have an opinion or three on signature wins in week one or two against ranked teams that were ranked too high in the first place. The only one I really have was Ohio State against Notre Dame, and it's in part because I did not think Notre Dame was going to be that good anyway. I thought they were highly overrated at number 5. New head coach who had done nothing yet, literally, except for a lose a bowl game, which isn't his fault, right? I mean, he was put in a difficult position. Their offense was due to be terrible. They didn't have like a lot of the pieces that they really needed to succeed. And we've seen many a time here in Ann Arbor a Michigan team getting overrated for by beating a bad Notre Dame team that was ranked way too high. Happens way too often. Obviously, Florida against Utah. Florida, you know, a signature win there. I mean, I think Utah bounced back. I don't remember what they did last week, but they didn't play anybody, I don't think. And then only for Florida to lose the next week. It's that's why I say they play the games. You know, we don't write things on paper and call it good. It's not how it works. Spencer Whitmore. At Spencer Whitmore. Don't understand the 180-degree Cade hate this year. Feels like we can want JJ and not hate Cade at the same time. Agreed. I have nothing to add to that. Also, what time did your head hit the pillow early Sunday morning after the Hawaii game? Appreciate your work. Well, thank you, Spencer. 5 is when I finally went upstairs, 5 a.m. And then I woke up, I think, around 8:30, 9 o'clock, pulled out my iPad in bed and just started writing again. That's how that goes. That's why I am still exhausted, because my body clock is completely messed up after I finally got it in season mode. So, fun times. Jacob Chavaria at Jacob172139.50. Would you be surprised to see JJ finish top 3 in the Heisman race this year? Well, I'm going to answer that before we move on here. No, I wouldn't be. And I mentioned that on the M Zone, kind of. I kind of hinted at that. I'm not saying, for the MSU fans that for whatever reason watch this, or Ohio State fans that whatever reason watch this, for the record, I am not making JJ my September Heisman. Not doing it. But what I will say is it does seem that lately the quarterbacks, not all of them, Joe Burrow was a senior, of course, but it seems like more and more these guys really start to emerge earlier. Like last year, Bryce Young won as a redshirt freshman. C.J. Stroud was in that conversation as a redshirt freshman. Johnny Manziel was something like a second or third year player. I'm not really sure offhand. It seems like guys are starting to emerge more in their second year now. And so would I be surprised? Not at all, especially given his skill set. It would not surprise me in the least. So we'll see. Why are people concerned Iowa will be our first test this year? We smoked their you-know-what last year. Because every year is a new year. The game's at Kinnick. They still got a tough defense. Weird things happen at Kinnick. Michigan hasn't won there in 20 years. They've got to slay that dragon the same way they slayed Wisconsin. Probably relatively similar in that they're going to be going up against a kind of not so good Iowa team, but it'll still be a really good defense. I think that you'll get a good idea of what Michigan's going to be when you mix the Maryland offense with the Iowa defense. How do those units perform in those different games? Different games, but it's like, okay, going up against a top tier offense in Maryland that has Dante Demas and Rakeem Jarrett, assuming that they emerge through this week. And then an Iowa defense that's really good. If Michigan can hold Maryland to like 20 points or less, which is the benchmark I've set for that game. I mean, maybe it ends up being 27 or something. I don't know. If Michigan can score on Iowa, let's say 40 points or more, then things probably still are looking good for the end of the year. All right. We are quickly running out of time because I'm very long-winded, so I'm going to bump some to the third segment and bump some others probably to the next show. So that's how we're going to go because we've got two shows. Don't need to fit it all in right here. BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we've got about 5 left here. 5 minutes left. We got plenty more questions, of course. That's why we're splitting this podcast into two. So we'll go the whole 30 minutes here, and then we will reconvene with episode 2 here momentarily. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob. Not really a question, but something to point out in regards to the difference in offensive philosophy from last season to this year. Last year, Michigan averaged 45.5 runs, 72%, to 17.5 pass, 28%. This excludes the Washington game because of the obvious plan to not throw. This season has shifted to a way more balanced attack of 36.5 runs, 58%, and 26.5 pass, 42%, which is kind of the complete opposite side of what you would think versus even more outmatched opponents than last season. This tells me Michigan wants to be way more balanced this year. I absolutely think so, because I think that that's what your weapons dictate. You know, like, you want to play to the strength of your team. When you have a Hassan Haskins, you do want to kind of pound it a little bit more because he's a guy that can fall forward and get you those types of things. When you have the type of talent that Michigan has currently, which is a lot of receivers, just like a boatload of receivers, and, you know, a running back that can catch in Donovan Edwards, another one that theoretically could catch in Blake Corum or CJ Stokes. Like, you want to be able to have those multiple options, especially when you have a quarterback like JJ McCarthy. It's just a completely different style of play. I would imagine Michigan's going to be way, it's probably not going to be completely pass first yet, but it is going to get closer and closer and closer to pass first, I think, as the season wears on. They still want to run the ball because they have talented backs. It's a lot better to be able to win a game running the ball than passing the ball in general. But I think that that number is probably going to be more 50-50 or even 60-40 pass run, I think, as the season wears on. But they've got to be able to keep the run game going as well. Adam Kasel, at Adam Kasel. I know Jake Butt is your boy and a Michigan legend, but he crushed it on the broadcast Saturday night. On a scale of 1 to not at all, how surprised were you? Not at all. That dude, I did not need to give him much coaching at all. He did most of everything on his own. He is driven. He is prepared. We had several phone calls throughout the week to go over different things to make sure that he, you know, he felt as prepared as he could be. He called me while I was at the game just to, like, okay, I want to run through a couple things just for a quick second, just hear me out. Tell me if I'm right on, anything needs to change here, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this was just going over, like, personnel type stuff and, you know, concepts and stuff that, you know, just kind of based off of what I knew from either, like, what the players are or whatever. And this was all, like, we're not even talking, like, the stuff that's obvious. Like, he was getting down into, like, the, like, all right, give me, you know, let's go over Isaiah Gash's backstory again. You know, it was like that. So not at all. He uber prepared. What do you want to see from the O and D versus UConn? More of the same. That's it. I'd like to see if the third, fourth string type gets in, I'd like to see them be a little bit better than they've been, because that's when things kind of fall apart. But first and second have been pretty good. And in the past, it used to be once the first team came out, then it started to kind of fall apart. So the early rotation has been good. I want that back end to continue to get better, because now they've had a couple games to do so. C. Henry at CN313. Will we see more of the young wide receivers in this week's game? I hope so, but at the same time, like, they're just gonna, I would imagine it's going to be more way down, you know, like, we didn't start seeing Andrell Anthony until Michigan State, you know. They've got a lot of guys, and I know everyone's always excited about new, but I think that it's no, you know, there's no reason to necessarily rush guys in. So I think you'll probably see a little bit of them getting worked in just as time goes through. But it's, you know, they're not going to be as ready as some of the others. There's other receivers I want to see that aren't, like, necessarily the youngest guys. And that includes a guy like Christian Dixon, who we haven't really seen at all yet, who I think I've heard had a really good camp. How has Cade responded to the news at quarterback? As far as Jim Harbaugh said, I haven't asked my source, but as far as Jim Harbaugh said, he came in with a smile on his face and acted just like he always has. So sounds good. Will we see Cade intermittently during the rest of the season? Not really sure. We'll see. And starter hadn't meant one QB in a few years here. Is this year different? Yes, it is. JJ McCarthy is the starting quarterback. So going forward. All right, that's going to do it for episode one. We have plenty more coming in episode two. So more questions, more mailbags. Stick around. But if you aren't going to, thanks for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you again. Peace.